Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul and all of the souls of the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Please be seated. A couple of announcements, just as a reminder that we'll be going in procession to the cemetery. For those that are able, feel free to join the servers and me as we walk down. We'll be praying decades of the rosary until we get to the cemetery. Those that would prefer to drive a car or need to drive a car, you're certainly welcome to do so. Just remember the parking is somewhat limited there at the cemetery. And also after the graveside services have concluded, you are all invited to come back to the main building and to partake of the lunch that will be provided for the family and also for the parishioners. I would like to express my sincerest condolences to each and every member of the family of Mr. David Porter. And although I did not know you until just as of last night or this morning, my sympathies are none less heartfelt, and we do wish to express. I wish to express my empathy and also on the part of the parish for your loss, and also in a special way to Sister Mary Agatha, whom I've known for many years and who has been a fellow religious of mine in the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen. My dear brethren, Mr. David Porter didn't get his ashes this year on Ash Wednesday. As we know, as Catholics, we go through that yearly ritual. We have that black mark placed upon our forehead in the form of a cross, and the priest says in Latin, what God said to our first father many, many centuries ago. Remember, man, thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Originally, God had given to our parents the gift of immortality. And it was intended that every one of their children, the countless billions through the centuries, would all be immortal as well. But when the rebellion, the great rebellion happened, then God took away that gift of immortality among other gifts. And God pronounced a death sentence upon Adam, upon Eve, and upon every single one of their children that were ever to be. And we are reminded of that every Ash Wednesday, that we shall return to dust. Our earthly frame will one day not be able to house our immortal soul. That will continue to exist, but the body will be laid reverently and lovingly to rest. For in life, as this liturgy tells us, it was the dwelling place of God through the life of sanctifying grace. So, Mr. Porter did not get his ashes this year. But I feel very confident in saying that he did not need a reminder. The reminder that it is to all of us. He had received it, of course, many years as a Catholic. And I want to share with you my last conversation with him that just shows you how well prepared he was for this transition, which is inevitable for all of us. Sister had alerted me, I think, a week and a half ago, my father's not doing well. Could he receive extreme unction, and I was thinking of going over on a Friday or on Saturday, but I couldn't, and there didn't seem to be a grave urgency or an immediate urgency, and so I arranged to give him extreme unction on the evening of Quinquagesima Sunday. I would come down to his apartment. And that was the day we had our musical talent show. So I said, I won't have time after Mass. We were very busy with our, with activities there after Mass. So I got over that evening, just a week and a half ago, and he was very alert, very cognizant. And I said, David, I came over to give you extreme unction. And as we know as Catholics, if it's God's will, it will even give us some measure of healing. Extreme unction has done that. It's even miraculous in its effect sometimes in the healing it gives, if it's God's will. And if it's not meant to be, if it is our time to depart from this world, then it will purify the stains that sin has left on our souls. And as quick as you can imagine it, he said, Father, it's a good deal either way. He was so ready. If God wanted him to live longer than his 89 years, so be it. But if God said it was time, then so be it. And I think that reaction of his was so much Mr. Porter. He treasured his Catholic faith. He appreciated his Catholic faith. He lived his Catholic faith. And just to see the way he made the sign of the cross, the way he came into church whenever he had that privilege, and yes, he considered it an honor and a privilege to come up to church. And his last Mass was that Sunday of Quinquagesima. He was advised not to go. You're not feeling well. You don't need to go. You'd be excused. But he had a holy Catholic stubbornness to him. And by golly, he was going to get to Mass. I saw him tottering in before Mass. I was doing some setup for the musical talent show before Mass, which then I offered it at 10:30. And it was the slowest walk I think I've ever seen him do with a cane. Mrs. Draymond was next to him. But he was going to go to Holy Mass. And that is an inspiration for all of us, my dear brethren, to love and appreciate our faith as well. Yes, the Catholic religion makes demands on us. It expects us to overcome sin, to live to Christ, to die to our fallen inclinations. It's a hard religion, if you're going to put it that way. But as another World War II veteran had told me, and yes, Mr. Porter was a veteran of World War II, this was one man who resided here, Mr. Bill Doring. He said there was a saying among his fellow fighter pilots who were stationed in the Pacific. He said, it's the hardest religion to live in, but it's the easiest religion to die in. We are given so many blessings, so many holy assurances before we depart from this life. And I was privileged to give Mr. Porter Holy Communion that day at Mass, give him extreme unction. Unfortunately, or I didn't think it was urgent enough to give him the apostolic blessing. That could have happened as well. Oh, and another thing we got to talking about that Sunday evening, about the mercy of God. How good God is, and how many times He has forgiven us our sins. I related to him the opening of one of the Psalms. I believe it's Psalm 88, but I could be mistaken. But it begins by saying, "The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever." And he couldn't have more fervently agreed with me as I shared that sentiment with him. That his gratitude for how many times God said, "I pardon you, I forgive you." By the way, that was the at least one of the mottos, if not the most important motto, of Archbishop Godin Thuc, the well-known and revered bishop, archbishop from Vietnam. He made it the title of his autobiography, "I will be singing the mercies of God forever." And this is the spiritual growth that happens as we realize more and more how much God has given to us, how many times he's pardoned us. And we didn't deserve that pardon. But in his infinite mercy and goodness, God gave that pardon to us as many times as we sincerely said, "Lord, I am sorry. I wish to do better." I really think that he was experiencing his end coming near. At least a couple of you have remarked how chatty he had been in the last couple of weeks, and it wasn't like him. But he appreciated his fellow Catholics more than words could say, and expressed thoughts and feelings that perhaps usually kept inside, but he got the words out that he needed to say. So, my dear brethren, we know not the day nor the hour. And this is the great reflection we always make at a funeral. Our time will come. And for our own good, God does not reveal that time when it's supposed to be. It wouldn't be good for us. So we are told by the gospel to always live in a state of readiness, always prepared, always in the state of sanctifying grace, for we know not the hour or the moment, nor do we know the place. It came for him last Friday evening. And my dear brethren, on that day we will be forced, if we need to use that word, it'll be a necessity to leave everything behind. There's nothing that we can take, not a penny, not a dollar. Can't take any fine jewelry or gold. We can't take any bodily attributes with us to the next life. We have to leave all. And we will have to be ready, whatever God's plan is for us. But here's where that living in a state of preparedness comes in, where we already have told God, we accept it, whenever it is. And we will live our life to the full. My dear brethren, death does not have to be a depressing thought. It shouldn't be. Rather, we should be more inspired to live a better life. We should be more inspired to take advantage of every day, knowing that each day is a gift from God, and to use it to the full. If there's any regrets we'll have on the day of our parting, it will be all the wasted opportunity. So you see, it doesn't have to be a dismal thought. If we are living our lives according to the gospel, in a very real way, we will welcome that day because we will have lived prepared for it, not unprepared for it. I was listening to a tape just yesterday about some biblical theme, and it brought up the subject of death, and I thought there was a very powerful saying in there that was mentioned, and I'll repeat it here. "He is no fool who gives up what he must leave behind for a treasure that he cannot lose." I think that's worth repeating. Let me do that. "He is no fool who gives up what he must leave behind for a treasure that he cannot lose." In fact, Mr. David Porter left all behind. And the way he lived shows us that to every reasonable hope and expectation that he will have the treasure that he cannot lose for all eternity. My dear brethren, we are reminded also by death that really God is the only one that can give us that perfect happiness, that perfect satisfaction. We know it's not possible in this life. So we look to that life hereafter when we will be filled to the measure of whatever capacity we bring to the next life, to be filled with a perfect peace and a happiness and being with God face to face. Oh yes, let's not kid ourselves. We will have to spend time in purgatory. Who among us is so saintly, so perfect, that we have atoned sufficiently for every sin and misdeed and fault? And this is another thing that God hides from us. He doesn't reveal to us how long a purgation somebody may have. Obviously, the greater the sinner, the more time, if he or she dies in the state of sanctifying grace. So our prayers, our good works, our masses, our sacrifices we offer up for the repose of his soul, let them not cease. We are always reminded to have a deep and abiding devotion to the holy souls in purgatory. We never know, apart from a special divine revelation, as to that point where somebody doesn't need it anymore, and God's not going to give it to us. It's for our good. But nothing will ever go to waste. The more we are devoted to the holy souls, my dear brethren, as the saying goes, what goes around comes around, and God will be all the more merciful to us when our time of purgatory comes. We will receive more mercy because we have been more merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We lay to rest then a very, very devout and dedicated member of our parish. We've lost in this past month, my dear brethren, as you well know, three very inspiring examples of living the Catholic faith. Mrs. Galen Gallegos, Mrs. Pauline MacDonald, and today Mr. David Porter. We need to be grateful for that example they gave us, that inspiration they provided for us, and use it to fuel our own efforts spiritually. And just to tell you how much of a devoted Catholic Mr. Porter was, many times he walked from Hilliard up to Mount St. Michael. Not for Sunday, just for Sunday Mass. This was for the Tuesday night Holy Hour. What an example of dedication and devotion and having that deep faith, realizing the spiritual treasures that were here for him. He wasn't going to lose them. So he came. And that was part of that treasure that he took to the next life. We lay to rest today also a man who served his country for many years in the armed forces. He will be buried today with military honors. He served in the D-Day invasion. He was in the Navy and served on one of the ships. And then after that, after being in the Navy, he enrolled in the Army, and again put in a career of serving his country, and particularly of the World War II veterans, we have to be aware how quickly they are disappearing. On any given day in our country, over 1,000 of them die, and very quickly they'll be gone. It was a very difficult time in our country's history. Two major battlefronts. The worst war the world had ever seen. And that generation had to rise to the occasion, and it did. And Mr. Porter was one of that generation. We are grateful for his service, as our country is as well. We lay to rest also a faithful provider for family. And we also lay to rest today the daddy of a nun. And it struck me just before Mass that today is March 1st. It happens to be the feast day of his namesake, St. David of Wales. And also today is the month, the first day of what we call the month of vocations. We have that devotion to pray the prayer for vocations every day, and I'm going to invite you to pray that with me as soon as I conclude the eulogy. And I'm going to read a little poem for you. And this will tell us how special each religious vocation is. And Mr. Porter in his life always honored the clergy, the religious. God blessed him. God blessed his entire family, to be sure. But he also blessed one of his daughters to follow in the more perfect way. And so I think there's a message for us today here as well. To appreciate that most perfect of the three vocations, the religious life, but to remember that all of us are called to sanctify ourselves in whatever walk of life we are destined, whether it be religious, and of course that would include the priesthood, the single state, that a few are called to that, and then the married life. That's God's plan. That's God's path. For us to persevere in that way, to sanctify ourselves, and to help us reach our eternal destiny. I know not who wrote this little poem, but I thought it would be very fitting to share today. I'm the Daddy of a Nun is its title. Sure, my daughter has been vested, and my joy I cannot hide. For I've watched her from the cradle with a father's honest pride. But the morn she left me early, I was feeling mighty blue, just the thinking how I'd miss her and the things she used to do. But now somehow it's different with each rising of the sun, and my heart is ever singing, I'm the daddy of a nun. Since the heir is only human, there's a whole lot on the slate that I'll have to make account for when I reach the golden gate. But then I'm not a worrying about the deeds I've done. I'll just whisper to St. Peter, I'm the daddy of a nun. Would you join me now in the prayer for vocations? O Lord Jesus Christ, who didst take to thyself a body and a soul like ours, to teach us the glory of self-sacrifice and service, mercifully deign to instill in other hearts the desire to dedicate their lives to thee. Give us priests to stand before thine altar and to preach the words of thy gospel, others to assist the priests and to reproduce in themselves thy humility, sisters to teach the young and nurse the sick, and to minister thy charity to all, lay people to imitate thee in their homes and families. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace.